I want God's way to be my way. I sigh Jenny here below.
Shalom and welcome to Reflections on Faith. And today we just want to begin with reading Matthew 28, verse 19. And Brother Nzima, I want us to read it from the NIV, if you could help us with that.
Amen. Matthew 28, verse 19 reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations."
Just there. I really want us to look at the making of a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And we may take time to talk about the need of a church building now in Mtenguleni and Chongwe. Chongwe is quite interesting because here you have a situation of people demanding for a church even before you do a crusade. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
But here is something. I love the way it is expressed in the NIV. You know, a crusade can be wasteful if you're not careful.
Mm.
You can gather large crowds.
Yes.
And people love to take pictures.
Mm.
You can post them on Facebook and say, "We baptized so many number of people." A thing I don't like. I usually prefer to to avoid catching such moments, you know, on Facebook. But well, there are times you want to share them for memory. But there can be a thin line where, you know, some of these things can be done just for impressing people. But reality on the ground could be different. And we don't want to ever fall into such a trap.
Yeah.
Where there are so many testimonies of people getting baptized. But when you go on the ground, one can hardly find a church which is there or people who've been grounded in the Word of God.
That's right.
But by God's grace, Brother Nzima, all the crusades which have taken place so far, it's really been an amazing thing. And God bless you, Brother, especially for the commitment you have given to this, especially in when the Rufunsa Church started after we did the crusade, you remained there. Then later on, when we saw that there was someone now from that very place who is now shepherding that assembly, then you moved on to Chatama, where we had another crusade. What touches me about these places, Brother Nzima, is these are churches which started from scratch. You know, I was telling Brother Stroman that as you are coming and going to these places, these are new believers. We're really starting things from scratch. And some of these have just come from a background of drinking, others not from a religious background, or others from religious backgrounds, but not something coming close to the truth of God.
Yes.
And so these are people we are seeing growing. How has that experience been for you, Brother Nzima, seeing people grow, you know, from an altar call where they've given their lives to God?
It's been amazing, Pastor.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I've learned, that we sometimes have taken things for granted. You know, we are fed so much. We hear the word of God. And when we go out there, people know nothing.
Yeah.
Even simple, can you imagine? Simple Bible stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the church, someone will say, "You know that story of this, you know the story." That side, it's zero. They don't know anything. Marriage, they don't know anything. They don't know how to go about it. They don't know what the Bible says. Fasting, Pastor, it's surprising. Someone has never in their own life fasted before.
You one time told me of, was it a woman who was afraid of fasting, you know, where they're afraid to stay hungry the whole day? Yeah.
Yes. And then there was a brother. We announced, I told them we're having prayer and fasting. No one should eat. This is where we do it like children. I tell them exactly 24 hours, you're not supposed to eat. People were so much afraid of dying of hunger. And when it was done, it surprised the pastor. They said, "Wow, we didn't even feel the hunger." We had the first overnight. People were scared. "Will we manage? Will we pray?" So the one thing I've learned, like, which has helped me, is when you're leading these people, you are always forced to be in prayer all the time.
Please allow me to say something on that.
Yes, yes.
Here's been my personal experience. There are a lot of benefits to get involved in a church which is just starting. Just like in our fellowship here, you know, at one time we used to have a whole team in one place. You know, you, Brother Kashala, you know, Brother Mansa, and all the people, even Brother Masuzio. And here is one thing. When a church is not growing in terms of missions and evangelism, you get to have people who have a lot of potential in them to be useful.
Yes.
But they're all stuck in one place. Okay? And that leads to a problem. The problem of spiritual stagnation, where people stop growing. You know, when you take a baobab tree, Brother Nzima, and you plant it in a flower pot. Now, a baobab is, I think, the largest, widest tree. Okay, it's very huge. It's very big. But that same baobab, if you planted it in a flower pot, it just grows like a flower.
Yes.
And that is the problem some people have. Well, they've been in the faith for many years, but they've never been exposed to an external environment beyond the walls of their church. Okay? The other time, Brother Tenson was mentioning something. I think we were with Brother Kashala. You know, it's a long time ago we had Brother Kashala in the church.
Yes.
Because of the new church, which is in Mwembeshi. And, I mean, it never occurred on my mind that Brother Kashala would lead, you know, a congregation. But now, in nurturing this new fellowship, he has become prayerful. He's into evangelism. The other time he told me they want to come and have time for prayer at church, and I joined them. You've mentioned something very important.
Yes.
When you get involved in discipling another Christian, you don't have to go to another new church which is starting. It could be even be within your congregation, but if you've witnessed to someone and they've come to the faith and you take it on yourself to disciple them, you pray with them, you know, they become someone that is an acquaintance that you can help them on this spiritual path. There's something it does to you.
There's something it does to you, Pastor. And for me, I would say my favorite, okay, for lack of a better term, my favorite activity out there is praying for people. When there's a case, I love that.
Yeah.
Because the experience is enriching.
Yeah.
Someone who is sick, someone who has a spiritual problem, someone who has a marital problem, when you go out, you pray for them, you counsel them, the experience is enriching. And you know, my wife has so many times, you know, she said, you know what? I always look forward when you tell me we are visiting that particular village. I'm looking forward to the blessing, because
that's wonderful.
That is where a real blessing is. So now the beauty of it, Pastor, is once you follow, you see, once you follow the leading of the Lord and you keep doing this, subconsciously, you are duplicating yourself in the people.
Yeah.
They'll be saying, you know, I've noticed, I may ask a brother to say, maybe encourage us or something. He'll start saying the things that you say to them. They'll start doing the things that you have been doing. And you look at our sisters. When we first started, others still had these styles. Others still had these beliefs. But as time goes on, they start sharing to other people.
Amen.
Others were shy and closed up, but now they're spiritual.
Yeah.
And then they say, you know, the beauty is, one sister, Pastor, she said, you know what? I'm surprised. I grew up having these abnormal demonic attacks where I dream the same thing every night. But from the time we've been praying and doing these things, it's gone. You see the children who are catching up, they're catching up the fire.
Yeah.
Waking up in the night to pray. Can you imagine? So you see all this. Now, the beauty of it is because you started as you're the one leading the people, but now they're giving you feedback. So you are enjoying that atmosphere.
You know, Brother Nzima, the first time I had an experience of that was some 30 years ago.
Mm.
You know, now when I mention this, it tells me, hey, it's been some time.
Yeah.
It was in Pentecostal Holiness Church. That's the place where I really received my experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was quite a unique experience. And I was just in a church, and we were young boys, you know.
Mm.
And Holiness Church used to have prayer and fastings. Can't remember how often they used to.
Mm.
But I was just a young child in that church.
Mm.
And I was just the first in the crowd. And I would literally take what the pastor would say.
Mm.
They would talk about evangelism. And I remember I took it upon my heart to look out to some other young people to share the word of God too.
Yes.
And I had ministered, shared to these who were older than me.
Mm.
But thankfully, they gave me an ear. And they were interested to hear. And so I started sharing to them. Another day, I told them, you know what? I would want us to meet at church where we can all pray together. You can mention your prayer requests.
Mm.
All these were just children who used to be in the streets and, you know, in the compound. They didn't come from proper homes.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
I remember there were about four of them.
Mm.
So we made an appointment. We started meeting at church frequently, consistently. Mm. They started opening up struggles they have and would pray the whole day in church with them. As I was doing that, I found myself having a prayer schedule, a counseling schedule.
Mm.
Now, this was way back, Brother Nzima. We were very young.
yes.
Then, but well, we had a spiritual hunger.
Mm.
And I saw myself grow through that. It made me study the word of God and prepare, what do I need to share with them?
Mm.
What can we pray for next? Would read some spiritual books, you know, and share with them.
Mm.
I believe that principle is still important.
Yes.
And that is why when we have a crusade, before the crusade starts, we encourage believers, children, brothers, sisters to go out, visit some woman, if you're a woman, visit some fellow woman.
Yes.
Give them a flyer.
Mm.
Greet them. You don't have to open the scripture and start teaching anything.
Mm.
Create that connection with that person. Invite them to the meetings.
Mm.
And you remember Chatama, a lot of them had,
yes,
they were excited with the experience they had.
Mm.
I remember one sister saying, hey, you know, I was scared. I didn't know what words I would speak when I go out there. But as I started talking, things started coming. Things started coming, and she felt happy that, you know, I really felt this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes.
You know, telling someone about Jesus, telling someone, hey, come to the meetings.
Mm.
And even the children shared the same excitement. And you know what? I'm happy of that.
Yes.
I'm happy that Sunday school doesn't have to be taking these children whom you think they're very shallow and all that. You think they have to paint Noah's Ark in a Sunday school. No.
Mm.
You know, in the classrooms they're in, they're being exposed to adult content.
Yes.
You know what? We need to expose them to adult content in the scriptures.
Yes,
so someone needs to repent. Someone needs to be born again.
Yes.
And Chatama was quite a good experience. Yeah.
Pastor, it's amazing.
Yeah.
For my boys.
Mm.
They look forward. You know, I was worried when I moved that side and my family joined me. I was saying, these are children who've grown up in a town setup, and how will they cope with this environment?
Mm.
But it's amazing when we go out for outreach, they are so eager.
Mm.
Even when we are praying for people, one of my boys, he doesn't want to be left out.
Mm.
Whenever he knows I'm making a visitation program, he's always there. Daddy, don't leave me out.
The big mistake adults are making today is the main church service is for we brothers, adults.
Yes.
Evangelism program is for big people.
Mm.
Children, no, they can't fast. Let them remain at home. So you are in prayer and fasting. You leave your children playing around with phones, tablets,
yes,
the TV. Do you know how much damage You're doing on the children?
Yes.
Who told you if they participate in prayers, it will spoil them or damage them? There is all the benefit for them
there
to experience
all
out
the
of that.
Benefit.
And the king of Nineveh knew better.
Yes.
Even animals fasted, Brother Nzima.
Yes. Even babies were born that day. Babies were born that day.
And then you have this generation of new parents, you know? Children are taken care of like eggs.
I think last time I mentioned, Pastor, the prayer and fasting we had for Sunday school.
Yeah.
The youngest member was 2 years old. And it was like, I was shocked.
Whoa.
They brought this child. The mother said, okay, since it's fasting, let the child, maybe if she'll take 30 minutes, bring her back.
Mm.
So the child came and this child, they told me, this child can't stay without eating because she'll start crying. She'll trouble the mother. She was in the service for 6-7 hours.
Mm.
Now, the mother was worried that the baby was not coming back. So 2 hours before we ended the program, she started coming to pick. Say, I don't know what's happening to the child. And then a brother met. I said, where are you going? He says, oh, I want to check on the child. He says, well, your child is in prayer. She's been fasting all this time. And it's 2 hours to
brother
go.
Brother Zim, I put a disclaimer on that. Lest I find other people taking their 2 years.
They were so shocked. Pastor, it was. We were amazed. We were shocked. Said she didn't cry. She didn't demand for food. She just participated.
Well, that seems like, you know, sometimes there's that special grace because of
there
the
is.
Environment we're in.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and so, Pastor, sorry. I'm really excited you talk about this. And, because, you know, what is that? The question was, what's been your experience starting a church? For the first time now, because we've been contending these spirits, broken marriages.
Mm.
For the first time, we are having a first marriage in our church. We are having the first marriage.
First marriage.
After so many broken marriages, relationships.
Mm.
And but by God's word, we have prayed this demonic stronghold in that place. God is breaking.
Because that is what is dominant, Brother Nzima.
Yes.
In these villages, marriages break up. The way people break up and marry another, it's just like mixing potatoes or something like that.
It's been like that, Pastor.
You know? And this will be the first wedding.
It will be the first wedding. We've been subjecting them to Christian counsel, guiding them on how to conduct when you're in a relationship, how you carry yourself, what you do. And all this information has been new to these people. But I'm very grateful to the Lord that...
And that is why we want to be there. We want
this
thing really to be a blessing.
It's first marriage, and it's really a blessing because we've come from very far. Sometimes it was so hard.
Mm.
You look at the people, you look at what they've been accustomed to.
I think the engagement will be happening when Brother Rolf Stroman will be
here, when he comes. It's just this coming month.
Mm.
Yeah, so it will
be... He may have to bless that engagement.
Yes, he just has to.
But it's amazing what God is doing in these places.
Mm.
But like I told you in the other podcast, when I saw these brothers, the way they're able to explain scriptures, I mean, I've seen all of them, the way they've come to the word of God.
Yes.
For Lakson, it was in Rufunsa.
Mm.
I used to go there, you know, to this village every weekend. Mm. And I would be preaching, and we gave his boss the work of constructing the church there. Their boss was so negative towards them stopping and participating in church.
Mm.
He felt that was wasting business time. But this poor young man, he said, okay. As he was doing the work, this other side of the building, we are in prayer. This other side, they're doing construction work. He was doing the work of building, and the other ear, he's listening to the preaching.
Mm.
That is what converted him.
Yes.
Gave his life to God, got baptized, and today he is a firebrand. That young man can pray. He can pray the whole night.
Mm, that's right.
And
that's right.
It's been a number of years down the line, and I'm so excited that now he's about to get married.
Mm.
Getting married from Chatama, and these are new converts.
Yes.
I really want to put my hand towards, you know, this wedding in terms of helping it out.
Amen. Amen.
It's a blessing. It brings a special memory. It will be a joy. I think a number of brothers will join me just to come and have this wedding ceremony.
That's right.
But Brother Nzima, what I see from this, the other time at our farm, I invited some brothers from Chatama to come do some work there, you know, just to help them. And one of them said, I think it's that brother who used to be a dead drunkard. His life was just beyond repair. I mean,
it was beyond repair.
He was destroyed. But he's a sober person.
Mm.
He has now a good family. Mm. He has sobered up. He's a new man. And
yes.
When he was given his pay for the work they did, it really touched me, you know, when he said, I didn't have a life. If it was a long time ago, all this money would have been blown away. My wife wouldn't have seen it.
Mm.
I can't imagine that now, after work, I can keep my money without wasting it on drinking and my wife can go see it at home.
Mm.
Something registered in my mind. Mm. Evangelism is really so great.
So like we said, yes, Pastor, sorry. Like we said, where it's very dark, it's that's where God works.
Yeah,
I can tell you, I still vividly remember I was with Brother Luxon. We went to a barber shop that time. And we found these people seated in a corridor, dark, drunk. And the other ones were looking better. This particular brother was worse.
This so, one we're talking about?
Yes. So I was cutting my hair. So Brother Luxon was sitting. I said, Brother, talk to those brothers. So he started talking to them.
You mean he was among them?
Yes.
Wow.
And then, you know what surprised us? The guy who was very drunk said, oh no, the word you said has touched me. Give me your number.
Really?
So you know what Brother Luxon said? Brother, we're wasting time. I know.
Brother Luxon didn't want to give him the phone number.
Because he was drunk.
Hey, Brother Luxon, if you're listening to this, never do such a thing. So, even if someone is in his drunk stupor.
I was also agreeing with him. Mm. But I said, anyway, he's asked for the number. Mm. And I said, anyway, these are people are drunkard. They are drunk. The other ones look sober. Pastor, we were shocked.
And the sober ones never got born again?
No. Then after 2 days, he called us. He said, where is the church? I said, oh my God. I just said, God forgive us.
Praise the Lord.
I told the brother, I said, Brother, God forgive us.
Amen.
He came to church. He was still looking disheveled and, you know, a bit like sober. And he used to have seizures, you know, because of that. But when he started coming to church, that thing was gone.
You mean he no longer experiences that?
No. Praise and you know what used to happen, Pastor?
Hmm.
He would buy, after harvesting, he buys a bicycle or something. It's stolen. He goes to drink what? But now he has a bike. He's kept it almost for a year plus.
Oh, man.
Then, now it doesn't end there. Do you know what happened? Mm. The other day he came with a young man. He says, this is my relative's side. The other side he came with two. The other side he came with a woman. He said, this is my wife.
Mm.
The other time he came with his mother-in-law.
Mm.
And they've all been coming to church.
Yeah.
Very committed brother. When you come, you'll find him. He's one of the brothers who sing in our little singing group that we have at church.
And this is why, you know, I was about to say, a crusade is a wonderful thing. Evangelism is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
When someone comes to Christ,
yes,
it's not just that person.
Mm.
You have saved an entire family.
Yes.
The children are put in the right way. Look at a number of these beautiful children in Chatham. You know, there's a day where they pray and fast just for the children.
Yes.
That's how we do it here in Lusaka.
Yes.
We have a day where it's just prayer and fasting for children.
Mm.
They listen to a sermon. They're given messages to read. Mm. We talk about the Bible. We pray.
Mm.
And you can see that there's a new thing happening in the village.
Yes.
And children are very important. This is the future of tomorrow. Okay? You want to tell how your church will be tomorrow. Look at your children. What is their spiritual thermometers? What are they feeding on? Are they participating in what you are doing?
That is true.
That's your church of tomorrow. Mm. If you are having serious programs and all what the children are doing, they're on their phones and tablets, you won't have a church tomorrow.
That
Believe me, it's a matter of time.
Mm.
So we are so thankful to the Lord for all these wonderful, amazing testimonies.
Yes, Pastor. And you may not know what God is doing in the children. Because as you keep putting in and feeding in these programs, something is happening. One girl, Pastor, wanted to come for church.
Mm.
And the parents said, no, you're not coming for church.
Mm.
She was crying. Can you imagine? This is a girl, she's like in the early
teens. So the parents wanted...
They wanted her to go and do some work, peace work or something. Mm. They wanted to do some peace work.
Mm.
The girl was crying. But when they went to do the peace work there, when she started working with the hole, it got broken.
Wow.
They went to get a better one, another one.
Mm.
They did it broke again.
Wow.
The work didn't go through.
Mm.
Until the parents are the ones who came to confess, to say, I think God was not happy with what we did. Yeah. This girl cried. She wanted to be in church.
Because, Brother Nzima,
part of that.
It's not just attending that church service.
Mm.
Every moment you spend in the presence of God has a lifetime impact on you.
No, that is true.
So, well, this is amazing. And that is why, well, we are coming to an end of this. But
can I squeeze in one more, Pastor? Mm-hmm. The other boy was sick.
Mm.
And, you know how the village is, the houses are small. So sometimes parents make them sleep in their grandparents. Mm. So this time the parents were worried. They said, let's observe this child. Let's put him in our room. We sleep with him here. This is a boy.
Observe him for what?
Because he was sick. He was not feeling well.
Okay.
So this is a boy who's about 8, 9 years old.
Okay.
So what happened was, in the middle of the night, this is a bush where sometimes hyenas pass.
Mm.
Middle of the night, the boy went outside. He was not scared. Started praying.
Wow.
Even in English, some of the words that he hears us.
This is one of the children, you know, who attends these prayers. And
one of the children.
Wow.
The parents were shocked. So they woke each other up. Said, can you hear? Is that the boy praying? Yeah, this time.
Mm.
Then they said, so they held each other. They said, let's not disturb him. This is the spirit of God. This has never happened.
Wow.
The boy started praying and interceding. And the father said, I was not hearing a child praying.
Mm.
I was hearing an adult mentioning names, interceding, praying. But he was sick.
So, you know, Brother Nzima, when long we are gone, if the Lord tarries,
yes,
we are raising an army.
Amen.
And there'll be testimonies, I believe.
Mm.
Because I remember those years when I would go to Chatama, in that room where I used to be, I used to keep up. You know, this is just a dark room.
Yes.
My prayer always was, Lord, may your light one day shine in this place.
Mm.
This is a place where children grow up just attending these ceremonial dances, so ignorant of the word of God. But something new is happening there.
Yes.
If the Lord tarries and these people grow into adults, I believe that's a new generation.
That's a new generation.
Which is Pastor. Coming up. And that is why we have to do it even the Dr. David Livingstone way. That idea which had come up of having literacy programs.
Yes,
I haven't forgotten about that, Brother Nzima.
But all right, yes.
It probably,
it's really our cry, Pastor. It's our cry.
Probably is something we can focus on next year. Because,
by the way, I tried it on one of the children. It worked.
It worked.
It's amazing, Pastor. Yeah. It's this boy was closed up, didn't even know a single word in English.
So for those who may not understand what we're talking about, in these places you find people don't know how to read.
Yes.
Okay. And the kind of schools which are there, well, really doesn't achieve much. So it is our desire to, along with Sunday school, to start teaching. And it's not just for the children, even for the adults.
Even for the adults, yes.
Because for them to appreciate the word of God, they need to know how to read it.
That is true.
So Brother Nzima had an initiative, and I think it is worth supporting. We want it's something we need to roll out in Chatama, in Rufunsa.
Yes.
Probably in Mwembeshi.
Yes.
And definitely in Chongwe.
In Chongwe, yes.
Focus is on reading.
Okay. Focus is on reading. Because there, you see, most of the literature we have, Pastor, it's in English.
Yes.
And we can't really transcribe everything.
Yeah.
They just need to get the language. Mm.
That is why, you know, David Livingstone, as he was doing his missions, they always paired it with teaching people how to read.
Yes.
Yeah, because you and I, Brother Nzima, are reading today because of efforts of David Livingstone.
Yes, no, that is true.
So like I said, we need to pick on where that great missionary left.
Yes.
So missionary work in an African society is more involving because you need to teach these people. And I'm happy you piloted it by trying it out with a few. So when that works out, we need to come up with a structure.
And you see the beauty, sorry, Pastor, when I tried it out with one child, that child was given the responsibility to teach another one.
Wow.
And it was working out.
And it worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that is doable, and we just pray about it and then strategize.
No, it's like what happened in Karamoja, Brother John Mack. He himself was telling about this. before the light of God went to Karamoja, it was a very dark place, full of ignorance. Even the, I'm told, the weather patterns wasn't good. People's skins would be cutting because of how terrible the place is. These are stories I've heard from people. But when the gospel went there, I'm told the place has changed. Then Brother John Mark himself said, you know, out of these people who've believed the word of God, there are even people now who are doctors.
There's
knowledge. There's good life.
Yes, yes.
You know, the place has just opened up. And so there's a blessing that comes with
there
that.
There is a great blessing that
and
comes
And so I don't
that.
Want us just to take the word of God to these people. But they need to learn how to read the word of God. And I believe when someone knows how to read, it opens up a whole big world of opportunities.
It does.
To them. Because part of the much darkness, which is on the African continent,
because of ignorance. Yes.
And that has to be dealt with.
That has to be dealt with. Yes.
Hey, Brother Nzima, we may go.
Yeah,
now,
that's so right.
Let's end here.
We thank God. Amen.
And we hope this has been a blessing to you.
Amen.
Yeah. So may the Lord richly bless you until we meet next time. Amen.
Amen. Every day.